The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Test. Hey, shout out to old friend Don Geronimo. Saw his Twitter yesterday. He's on his way to, I think it was on his way to, he's out in D.C. now. He's on his way to Washington Commanders camp because he's doing stuff there. I saw him interviewing Ron Rivera, but he hit a deer, killed it, and totaled his car. So.
Shout out.
Yeah. I don't know. What, thoughts and prayers? It's weird because the deer didn't make it. Oh. So no thoughts and prayers for the deer, I guess. Yeah, that's too late. I got invited to go hunting in this last year. What was it, last fall? I'm just thinking about this because it's a deer. And I just, like, I don't have anything against... Well, I have stuff against, like, hunters that hunt, like, lions and elephants and stuff you're not supposed to hunt. But, like, just specifically deer hunters, right? I don't have anything. I get it. It's, like, overpopulation. And in fact, most of the outdoorsy people I know are, like, super conservative, like... environment and like clean up, and you know, there's like real reasons for it. I totally get it. Like, I don't have anything bad to say. I could never shoot a deer, man.
Yeah,
I would not have made it back in the caveman days.
Survival of the fittest. I'd have been gone.
I would have been, you know what? I would have been
go like, out and kill your food.
And so that's why, like, you know, everyone likes to bag on vegetarians.
Yeah,
right?
I was the first vegan.
Yeah, I would have been one.
Yeah.
It's like one thing when you can go to Costco and it's just all, like, in there in the thing.
Yeah.
And you just go, oh, burger.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing, like, I think there'd be a lot more. If they want more vegetarians and vegans, like, here's some advice, PETA. PETA
yeah.
Parker.
Yeah.
Here's some advice. If you want more of those folks, like, put, like... try to pass a law. Like, imagine this. What if there's a law where every time, like, you go to buy, like, a chicken,
yeah,
but it's got a picture of the original chicken on it.
Meet Larry.
Right, exactly.
Here's Larry's life.
Name, date of birth.
Yeah. Height and weight.
Height and weight, yeah. Sign.
Larry's family members.
Right. Larry's a Leo.
Yeah. Larry's former job.
Four chicks.
Yeah.
You know, if I went
chicks
to...
dig Larry.
If I went to go buy a... You know, I had... what I have last... Oh, we had spaghetti and meatballs, so I had to make meatballs.
Yeah.
And if I had to go buy the pack of hamburger, and you know Bessie's on the cover,
right,
with a bell and a moo,
mm-hmm.
I'm probably not buying that.
Yeah, how the process was done.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
Yeah,
I don't want to know. I just
well,
go
you
buy.
You kind of know. You just ignore it.
Yeah, exactly. It's easy to ignore.
Don't think about it. Yeah,
it's just a bag of a chicken or right. a thing of a whatever. It's really weird how the mind chooses to like. I won't clean a fish. I'm the worst fisher person. I just catch and release. Yeah, I can't. I just call me whatever name you want to call me. I can't split a fish from butt to gill and. Pull the stuff, but you know what? When I bring a chicken home, if I'm doing a whole roasted chicken, I'll reach right in there and pull all the garbage out.
Yeah,
liver and whatever the hell else a chicken has in there.
Maybe because the eyes are gone.
That's a great point, Jason. It may be the eyes.
Yeah,
because you buy a whole, you get a whole fish, and the fish eye is just like, why?
Yeah,
why'd you do this? I'm just fishing.
One last chance.
Right, help me out. You know, good morning. How are you?
Good. I was better a few minutes ago.
Yeah, no, I'm not, you know, and I don't have anything against people that eat meat. I eat meat. I love me some meat. Meat's fun, but, I get it. And I also wonder, like, I feel I should read my history more. There's probably, like, a lot of, maybe not vegetarians, but not by choice. Back in, like, caveman days.
Sure.
They start pulling down, like, woolly mammoths and stuff. Like, I know, big incredible. Stuff. Like, they're basically pulling down whatever they can.
Yeah.
But they have a spear. You know what I'm saying? Like they don't have a you know shotgun. They're rolling out there with a spear with a tip made from a rock. You know that you kind of got to shout out. It's like when you talk about generations of like, well, Bill Russell, how would he do today? Mm-hmm. Well, how would those guys do today? They had a much higher degree of difficulty,
right?
Because you hit a woolly mammoth with a spear, and the woolly mammoth's like, What?
That's all you got?
Just, you know, oh, was that a mosquito bite? Pink. and now, you know, they're going out there with God knows, yeah. You know, what. And it's
much more artillery.
I think hunting would be more, I would feel a little better about hunting if there was a way to, like, genetically train deer also how to use firearms.
Yeah.
Like, they can
if
shoot
the
back.
Fight was fair.
Yes. Make yeah. it fair. Give Bambi a little handgun and let's yeah. go.
Right.
You know, and whoever wins, and you come home, you're like, I got this deer.
Or so, you don't come
or
home.
Or you don't come home.
Yeah.
You got the deer over your neck or however you do it.
Or the other way around.
But, right. The deer's got you on the front bumper of their car.
Got a knife and fork.
Exactly. They're having fun tonight. What's for dinner? Human.
Yeah.
And tomatoes.
They have it stuffed above their...
Yeah. You just got... Oh, God. You're rolling in the forest. You come across a deer lair. How do you know it's a deer lair? Because there's all these... Oh, hey, there's Jack.
Yeah.
There's his head.
Yeah.
Just on an oak. Yeah, make it fair. Let them fight back. Or all hunting has to be done with, like spears again.
Mm.
Like outline. I'm not trying to get, like, gun, you know, any of that. I'm just saying for hunting purposes.
Yeah. More of a sport.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You can use a spear, a bow and arrow, the little slingshotty thing. Oh, wait. That's a slingshot. No, what's the thing where, like...
That's a towel.
No. Yeah, but, like, think Mateen Cleaves with the towel.
Yeah.
But instead of that, it's like those things that go around the legs and trip them up.
Oh.
What, okay. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but yeah. I feel like that's in, like, action movies or something. Someone grabs something and then...
Right, yeah. Right. You know, I have... So, yeah, I couldn't. They asked me. I said, you guys have fun. But I just... I don't know, man. And I totally get, like, it's not always about, like... That's what my buddy was telling me. He's actually an ex-MMA fighter. I won't say who it is, but yeah. he had a pretty good career. And he's like, no, man, like, it's not just about the kill. It's about, like, you're out with your buddies and you're, like, you're hunting and you're it's like your instincts. Like, you know, you're all painted up and you got your camo on and you might be sitting in a blind if you're, you know, hunting, I think it was ducks, for, you know, a couple hours and you're just waiting for something to come by. And sometimes it doesn't come by and sometimes it does. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, look, I'm not going to yuck your yum here. Like, right. This is a huge part of your life. Like, he's into, like, sustainability and he eats his own, you know, catch and all. He eats everything he hunts. You know, I respect that. But I'm just like sitting in a bush,
yeah.
like painted up for 2 hours, not moving. Like, that doesn't sound like the, is there a TV? Are we playing cards?
Yes.
Are we playing spades? I don't know.
Maybe they're listening to the show.
Maybe they are.
Maybe podcast. Yeah.
It just does not sound. Right. Well, sometimes we build our own, like, basically like a fort, and you know, we're in there, and then the deer comes around, and
yeah, not for me.
I'll fish. Fishing's kind of cool.
Yeah,
but like you said, catch and release.
That's what I like. Yeah. I mean, but then other people, like, obviously eat their fish, and you know. Clean it and all that. I just
yeah, good for them. And my big worry is like I wear gloves when it's time to touch the fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
yeah.
But my big worry is like if I pull something out, they're like I'm not going to touch, and then I'm not going to just cut the wire, the line, and let the fish swim in. Got my dad just pulling his hair out right now because my dad is like Mr. He used to take a trip with all his attorney buddies. Yeah. They'd go a bunch of city slickers, and they'd roll up to this town called Bishop in the Sierra Nevadas mm-hmm. every year. And then they'd get with a guide who they'd all horse their way up for like they'd travel for like a whole day in the middle of nowhere. And then the dude's like, peace.
Yeah.
And all they have are like 100 cans of beans or whatever they brought. And they fly fish for golden trout. That's all they do for a whole week and eat their trout.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he's not a hunter. But he has hunted. I remember he brought an antelope home one time.
Oh, wow.
And a black eye. He went to Wyoming with his buddies. Well, I guess it was the first time he'd ever shot out of a scope. I don't know, or something like that. And he, like, put it against his eye and shot it
back.
And, you know, hit him. But then my mom, for, like, the next year, was trying to sneak antelope into our diet because we had all freezer full of antelope. And she didn't.
Can't waste it.
No, you can't. And so my dad would be, like, eating an antelope steak or whatever while we're having, you know.
TV dinners.
Yeah, well, yeah, Swanson's. But then one time she snuck it in a stew, and she pulled that thing where, like, it was beef stew, and I liked it. And then she goes, how is the antelope? And I was like, oh, it's disgusting.
Yeah, that's not Salisbury steak.
That's not Salisbury steak. Speaking of, Sean will be back with us this fall.
Okay.
And that'll be good to hear.
Sean steak?
Sean Salisbury. Take a break. When we come back, great news. I can't, I'm doing a show, Jay. Great news about Bronny James. That'll put a smile on everybody's face. We had a, I don't want to call it a major injury, but a major player injury in training camp yesterday. And the San Francisco Giants, according to this sheet, are hosting a three-game series with, I don't know, a team to be named late. Yep, you may have to wait till 9. In the meantime, there is no mystery as to why everybody's going to Oblet Dodge to purchase their new vehicles. Why? Because they do every year. Why do they do it every year? Because Hoblet has those small town ways, values, prices, all that fun stuff. They really, truly do. Hoblet knows that if they're just going to get a sale out of you, sell you a car once, it's not good business, Mom. They want all your business forever. And the only way to get all your business forever, because there's so much competition, is to treat you right, treat you with respect, get you a good deal. Follow up. I've now bought 2 cars from Hoblet, and if you count the extended family, I think we have 5 cars from Hoblet now over the years, and it really is true, man. Like, they take care of you. The price you see is the price you get with your true pricing. You're not sitting out there haggling with a guy named Dan. Like, they really do take care of you. Not that there's anything wrong with Dan's. They're the number one truck dealer in California, number 3 in the whole United States. Pile everything in the back of that Ram truck. Go camping, go hunting, go fishing, tow your boat, do your thing. You can save up to $13,000 off MSRP or save up to $5,000 off MSRP plus get financing as low as 2.9% for 72 months on those new 2023 Ram 1500 Limited, Laramies, and Bighorns. Yep, that is correct. J.D. Power customer first dealership since 2019. 2022 Ram truck number 1. Number 1 in J.D. Power's initial quality study. Search, select, and save at HobletDodge.com. If you tell them you're a good pal, you're a great pal, your best pal even, maybe. Carmichael Dave sent you. We'll take a break when we come back, leading off right after this.
The Kings are running it back.
He's got the bucket at the buzzer. Harrison Barnes. Alex Lynn just went above the iron with a two-hand throwdown. And that was as nasty as we've seen him in a Kings uniform.
And welcoming some new faces.
Oh, and here comes Vezenko. He gets the big finish.
Fisher rejected by Mr. Bezenkov.
Keep it locked on Sacktown Sports at SacktownSports.com for the latest Kings news. Let's do it. Leading off, the 3 top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number 1.
I was scared to death when I heard the news, checked with some people. They said he's okay. Obviously, before I saw the family statement, they were saying he's okay and he's doing better.
Stephen A. Smith talking about Bronny James, who has been discharged from the hospital. So this is one of those uncomfortable things where, first off, when you heard the news, you were like, everything was about Bronny James and him being better. And it still is, of course. Yeah. At some point, though, the questions are going to come, which is, well, is he... like, what happens here? Is he going to play basketball? And I know I'm asking that question. I think a lot of people in our age bracket are, because not just because I think it would be, you know, let's see. I don't want to say tragic. Tragic would be, you know, the other outcome. It would be such a dang shame for him if at that young age, like, he's going to be fine. It's not that, but it would just be so sad if he couldn't play basketball.
Correct.
But I remember Reggie Lewis.
Yeah.
I remember Hank Gathers.
Correct.
And in both cases, those are guys that had incidents. These aren't exact comparisons, but they're in the same family. They had incidents, continued to play basketball, and then had another incident and didn't have the outcome that we wanted. I think we can all agree, although we're not Bronny James or his family, but I'm pretty sure they'd agree. We would rather Bronny James never step on a basketball court again and live a long and fruitful life than the other outcome.
Yeah.
But you know, he's out, hopefully going to fully recover. And, you know, you never want to speculate, Jason, but you can hope. Hope it's some weird isolated incident. They detected some sort of thingy-dingy with him. In fact, wasn't it, was it Jeff Green that had a heart issue early in his career? I'm pretty sure I'm right about this.
I don't remember that.
And then it was corrected with medication. Okay. Stephanie went on to have a long and fruitful career. You hope it's something like that. Scary thing.
Absolutely.
But he's out, and yeah. You just feel for the family.
Yeah, that's the best part is they still have their son. He is still alive. He's still with us. And hopefully there is, you know, like you said, Dave perfectly said, is the long life ahead. But if there's an opportunity to recover fully and play basketball again, I'm sure that's what he would like. And, you know, this is one of the things based on fame and fortune here in this sense, they probably will have access to the best doctors. Doesn't mean those best doctors will always have it right.
Sure.
But you just, that's a good thing here. And I hope that all that works for him and the family.
Jeff Green last year celebrated the 10-year anniversary of his 5-hour open heart surgery to repair an aortic aneurysm. And they were able to correct it. It's a bulge in the aorta, a major blood vessel that feeds blood to the body. Tearing it can be fatal. And there was a point, you know, think about 11 years ago now, where that's very early in his career, where Jeff Green thought his career was over. And, you know, listen, let's be honest, Jeff still has a lot of life, you hope, left after his career, but that's always going to be in the back of your head. You
Absolutely.
So I'm really hoping for a more of a Jeff Green outcome than anything else. But first and foremost, the family, Bronny, and that's somebody's kid. You know what I'm saying? So cut number two.
Cut number two.
Burrow dropping back rather nonchalantly, and then you'll quickly see gets very uncomfortable. It looks like a right calf issue. He was already wearing that sleeve on that calf.
So if you didn't see the video, Joe Burrow was rolling to his right and all of a sudden pulled up his non-contact, which is the worst words in sports. And he began hopping and then immediately kind of sat down, waited for trainers to come over. I'm not speculating on what it was, but from what you're hearing, it was something in the calf. Jamar Chase said that Burrow nodded at him at one point, which is their language for, you know, I'm okay, I'll be fine, you know, type of thing before he was taken away. There is confidence that this could be anything from a cramp to, something. It doesn't sound like there's any sort of CLs that are going to go into this injury, not a knee thing. There was also worry that, oh my God, this doesn't look like a knee injury, but that could look Achilles-like. No thoughts there. So we should hear officially today, but hopefully that is just simply a blip.
Right. You know, and like you said, non-contact is always the scariest. And you talk about a franchise. That's your guy.
Oh, God.
And so he's had some training camp injuries before. This one, it seems like it's not a huge deal, but you don't know that until further review.
And I was telling Jason, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you mentioned he's had training camp issues. Is this third straight training camp Joe Burrow's gone down?
Is this the third straight?
Because there was the knee injury.
Yeah.
And then didn't he have an appendix issue last year in training camp?
That sounds right. Sounds right. Although I don't think he went down with the appendix.
Have you ever had an appendix injury in training camp?
I'm saying I don't think he was like dropping back. I'm like, I think you're absolutely right.
But he seems to do well after all these injuries in training camp, so maybe it's a good sign.
He's done fine. It's just, again, it's one of those things where you think about training camp. And remember yesterday we were talking about, like, well, if I was a head coach, I wouldn't play anyone. Very interesting interview we'll get to later with new Broncos head coach Sean Payton. I have never seen coach-on-coach crime like he dropped. And, by the way, Sean Payton's thing is I'm playing people, and we're here to get better and shut up. He ain't screwing around, man. So coming up at 6:43, there was another injury that sounds a bit more serious out there as well. And look, it's just part of the deal, man. We get this every single year. There are going to be injuries, and odds say there's going to be more than a handful of players that are going to miss the entire season because of something that happened in training camp. You just hope that's not the case. Number three.
Cut number three.
1-0 pitch. He swings and drives one high and deep out to left center field. Friedel's going back on the track, looking up. It is gone. And Wilmer Flores has done it again. And on one swing, the Giants have tied the game at 4.
Well, here we go. Giants back in action. Everybody back in action pretty much tonight.
Yeah. Full slate.
Here come the Red Sox.
Here they come into San Francisco. Time for the Giants to stay hot.
That is time for them to stay hot, too. Are they? Is
two in a row.
Is two in a row? They're heating up.
Yeah.
Three's the streak.
Yeah. Huh?
Three's the streak unless it's, you know, let's go streaking rules.
Yeah, that's a good point right there. Crawford versus Webb tonight. That's how you want to open a series if you are the Giants. 55-47 are the Red Sox. 56-47 are the Giants. The A's, in case you were wondering, go to Colorado and take on the Rockies. The Rockies are 22 games below 500, and you imagine there will be a home run or two hit there. Also, today we'll talk about Shohei Ohtani, who continues to do some pretty insane things. He did something yesterday that has, and how often do you say this? Often. He did something yesterday that's never been done before, and then he did it again.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that as well. When we get back, Safe or Out, we'll lead off with that from Shohei Ohtani. Are the Padres sellers? And I'm going to talk about last place, by the way. Hmm. And the Cardinals on this day in 1989. One of my favorite players to watch growing up. We'll talk about that anniversary. Safe or Out on Sactown Sports next.
It's Whitey and Watkins on Sactown Sports.
Here's the new Aaron Rodgers, or is it Mr. Rodgers?
And yeah, I would say maybe earlier in my career I was a little more easily angered, and I feel like I'm a little less triggered as I've gotten older.
Good advice.
It's so nice.
This music is so perfect. Now we're just going to be a little happy campers, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to practice patience.
It's Whitey and Watkins from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sactown Sports. Safe or out. It's time to go around baseball. Three pitches, three swings. It's Safe or Out on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
There's big potential Republic news yesterday.
Yeah.
So we're going to get the guy that broke the story, Marcos Bretón, our old friend.
Coles?
He's going to join us at 727. That's a classic. And then the mayor, Earl Steinberg, he's going to join us at 8:43. Jay, I just sent you an email link there as well. He will be on the StreamYard.
Oh, wow.
As a matter of fact. In the meantime, Safe or Out, J-Mars.
In a doubleheader yesterday.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani combined to throw a complete game, one hitter. Oh, and he also hit two home runs in the second game. Safe or Out, this is the single greatest one-day performance in MLB history.
Couldn't do it in the same game.
There was a pitcher that did hit a home run and throw a shutout. I forget his name, but it was not that. It was like 4 years ago or something, I think, that he hit a home run.
Was it Syndergaard?
No, it wasn't. Damn it. It was. I saw the thing yesterday. I just forgot the name, but it was just a few years ago.
Didn't hit two home runs.
They didn't hit two. So that's a big thing there. Same game. It has to be, right? Like, who else? Nobody else does that. Like, I'm thinking, like, what about when, Bob Horner and friends hit four home runs? What about, was it Mark Whitten had, like, 13 RBI for the Indians?
There's all those, or a pitcher pitches a perfect game, but they didn't hit.
Right.
The hitter that knocked in, you know, stole eight bases or something. You're like, yeah, all amazing.
But this dude threw a complete game shutout. By the way, I believe it was a one-hitter, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's I think it's the only complete game shutout of the year.
It is?
I'll double check that.
No, that's not right.
No.
Because the perfect game, or the no-hitter for the A's.
Yeah, good point right there. Yeah.
Domingo Germán. Yankees.
No, it has to be against MLB teams.
It is.
Tigers?
It is his first, I believe.
Or maybe that's what I saw. His first shutout.
It's his first shutout of his career. Yeah, I think it is. I think it is just because it's that. Like, you won the first game pretty much by yourself.
Yeah.
And then, I forget, what was the score in the second game? But his two home runs, I'm trying to think if he won that one by himself, too.
I saw someone write that. I don't even know or attempt to know how WAR is processed.
With above replacement.
Yeah, but, like, how would that not clearly be? He won the first game, give him one win, and then he won the second game. Like, he clearly was responsible for both wins.
I guess you technically can't say he won the second game because the Tigers scored four runs and he had three RBI, but the point stands, like, That's insane.
It is.
Yeah, I just, we say it over and over and over and over and over again. Like, just enjoy it. Hundreds of years of baseball, and you're seeing the greatest.
The timing of his hits will be important later in the show.
I'm aware. I am incredibly, incredibly aware. Like, honestly, this
might be the best Let's Go streaking segment ever.
It really is. It really is. Like, you're not going to top this one. And that's...
you're on a streak.
That's coming up at 9... Yeah, big brown streak. 927. Number... So you're... are you safe or out, by the way, officially?
Oh, I'm... safe.
Safe, yeah. Number two.
Safe or out.
A report indicates the Padres are listening to offers for Blake Snell and Juan Soto.
What?
Safe or out, is there any chance the Giants could swing an in-division trade for one of the Padres stars, especially after we saw an in-division trade yesterday in the NL East?
Why not both?
Yeah.
Oh.
We'll give you Brand Crawford.
Oh.
For Snelto.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you laugh, but Brandon Crawford instantly improves that clubhouse environment.
Yes, he does. I'm going to say safe. I think the Padres are like... They're like the guy that goes to the blackjack table, and he doesn't have a lot of money, but he starts out with, let's say he goes there with $400, right? And like his first two rounds, he puts in a little $100 chip to see if he can get on a run, and he loses both, and then now he's betting $5 chips the rest of the way. I feel like that's the Padres.
I'll get it back.
Yeah, they kind of tried, and they're like, too much money. We're not good. And now they really like the
Mets. How far back are they?
Oh,
in the wild card race? Why can't they have the Angels approach?
Six?
Yeah.
You invested. You had a great year a year ago.
They're 6.5 back.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. Hey, listen.
There is a chance.
Ohtani would be great, but I'm old enough to remember when Juan Soto was like the game changer for the Padres.
Yes.
And
everybody said that was unfair.
Yeah, unfair. The best young talents in the entire game. Unprecedented. Yada, yada, yada. He is 24 years old, 20 home runs, 62 RBI this season. But let's not forget, this is also a guy that in his second year, he's 24 years old, and this is his sixth season. So he's been playing in the majors since he was, what, 18?
Washed.
This is a guy that his second year in the league, 34 home runs, 110 RBI. I'd love to get Juan Soto as a Giant. Are you kidding me? Screw Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
If you can't get Shohei Ohtani, Juan Soto's on the short list of guys I'd love to get to build around. So
absolutely.
Safe.
Well, safe is what the Giants should want, but I think it's out. Why would the Padres do this? No way. Out.
I mean, the Mets did it yesterday. They traded their closer to the Marlins.
Cash?
But, I mean, this wasn't Soto or Snell. Like, this is – they can't do that. Can't.
Yeah.
You got to keep your – they've got the assets. Still a team that, you know, may not work this year, but I wouldn't give up on that group.
Also, their fill-in closer, by the way. Poor Edwin Diaz.
Yeah.
We got robbed of Edwin Diaz this year.
I blame him classic.
I do, too. Number three.
Safe or out.
On this day in 1989, Cardinals leadoff hitter Vince Coleman was caught stealing for the first time after 50 consecutive stolen bases, an MLB record. Safe or out, this is another baseball record that will never be broken.
That was a stretch of baseball that might, you know, again, it's a generational thing. I love that stretch, man. When you had Vince Coleman, Marquise Grissom, Wade Boggs versus Tony Gwynn every year in the batting race. Like, that was just, I love that era of baseball. In fact, a couple days ago was the anniversary of Will Clark getting jumped by 17 Cardinals, including Ozzie Smith and Jose Oquendo.
That's a lot of birds.
You know what? Say out.
Yeah!
I am. Like, I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying it's a guarantee or that it's not an insane record, but it's not Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah.
It's not Cal Ripken.
Are you going on the cyclical part of sports?
Yeah.
As a reason?
And I think also that doesn't mean that it has to be like this amazing 100-base stealer. It could be somebody like Aaron Judge who steals, you know, 20 whatever bases a year, but is like super careful and opportunistic about it and never gets caught. That's what I think. I think if it gets broken, it won't be by the 100 base stealer guy.
Yeah.
It'll be by the guy that's like super good base runner, high IQ, whatever.
Yeah, I think that the sports on the cycle part too, or the cyclical nature of them is a thing. Because if you think about now, we know it's like strikeout or home run is a lot of what baseball is. And where the batting averages are for guys that are in the everyday lineup, they wouldn't have been playing years ago. It's like, I don't care that you hit 25 home runs, but you're batting 186. We can't play you in the lineup. No. You strike out every time. Well, they don't care about that as much anymore. So, and it used to be a time where you'd advance and bunt guys, and stolen bases were a factor. So I think it'll, I don't know if it'll cycle back exactly, but to your point, like someone may have just stolen a base here every fifth game, and then it's like they're on a streak, and there we go. It can happen again.
And when you speak of the cyclical nature, this is where, you know, we're still only in the first season of the pitch clock.
Right.
Yeah. Once people get more scouting and, like, you know what, on X type of plays, it's really easy to steal bases here with this clock going. I think you can start to see that changing that as well.
I also think that eventually there's going to be some sort of think piece about how the pitch clock, weirdly enough, for some pitchers makes it easy to read their tells.
Yeah.
I really do, because for the first time now, you can start to time when they're going to pitch. We'll take a break. When we come back, the injury bug hits NFL training camps early. We'll talk about not just Joe Burrow, but another all-pro type player that may be down for a longer time. In fact, he will be. We'll talk about that next.
Jimmy G and the Raiders take on the 49ers Sunday, August 13th from Allegiant Stadium in Vegas.
And Sacktown Sports has all your coverage.
Kyle's offense versus Josh's offense, just different mindset behind it. So I think revamping the mind like that is the first step, and then just relearning the language. Basically like going Spanish to French, something like that.
The voice of the Niners, Greg Papa, has the kickoff at 1 p.m. on Sacktown Sports.
Your home for the 49ers.
The only place in the morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Never take a huge bite of Nutri-Grain bar right before you're coming back from break.
Never.
Yeah, I got to time those commercials better. My bad. Good morning. Good
morning.
Friday Fun and Games.
Yes.
It's coming up at 9:43. Any hints?
We've played this game before.
Have we?
Mm-hmm.
Do we enjoy it?
Yeah, I think you guys get a little stressed. Because there's a clock. There's a time element to it. Just like anything else, like I could do that when like you're watching people do game shows on TV. Mm-hmm. But then when you start putting someone on the stage and the lights and the timer, people get a little tight.
Does this involve music?
Maybe.
Coming up at 9:43, find out exactly what it is. Here's the thing. Injury bug.
Yes.
What do they call it? Injury bug.
I don't know, because it's more than a bug, right? But it is a pain. It's a nuisance.
It is.
Depending on the severity.
It is probably both a pain and a nuisance. We talked to you earlier, Bengals superstar Joe Burrow. Is superstar?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, we get the thumbs up from Jay as well. Bengals superstar Joe Burrow went down with a suspected calf injury. There's no timeline there. I expect we'll hear from that or about that today. Jalen Ramsey, Florida State's Jalen Ramsey, different story. Was carted off the field. He will have knee surgery and is expected to miss a few months.
Wow.
And, you know, though, his contract is guaranteed.
Good for him.
That's what I'm saying. Absolutely good for him. This year and next year, his contract is guaranteed.
That was a big addition for them, for the Dolphins.
It was a huge addition. And that's not going to work for them. He's going to be out a few months. And, you know, that also, look, you never know, too. The difference between good quarterback, great quarterback, cornerback, and not so great cornerback is what, like probably 0.3 seconds. But more importantly for them, it's that quick twitch. Mm-hmm. It's that ability to cut and move and that closing speed. And if you miss just any of it. So it's not just Jalen Ramsey will be back in a few months. Will Jalen Ramsey, who is getting a little long in the tooth for the NFL, will he be anything close? And it seems like he's been sliding a little bit. Will he be anything close to what he used to be, which is for years arguably the best cornerback of the NFL?
And he talked the game, right? He was supremely confident, was very vocal out there. And, you know, that's a position, both those positions. There's a lot of talk about wide receivers and divas, but cornerbacks have that attitude too. And maybe you have to, because you're going to get burned sometimes, but the ability – That's got to be so difficult to be able to stay with the best athletes in the world as close as possible. I mean, that I can't think of a more difficult position than that.
Maybe being the head coach of the Broncos last year. Nathaniel Hackett, ex-Davis guy,
yes,
is just taking strays all over the place. Sean Payton, 15 years, I believe it was 15, with the Saints, a Super Bowl ring there. Is now the new coach of the Denver Broncos. Hack it out after one season. And in a blistering interview with USA Today, Sean Payton just ethered.
Yes, he did.
Pretty much everything, including Hackett, saying, quote, you know, last year's Broncos, one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL. Woof.
Yeah. Generally that, I mean, someone might say that that's, you know, in broadcasting, mm-hmm. in a booth, in a show, in a podcast, in a write-up. But to be a current coach, to take over that team, I mean, that's generally taboo.
Right.
But he went for it.
Nope, he absolutely went for it. He went on to say there were 20 dirty hands around quarterback Russell Wilson's career worst season. 20 dirty hands. So I wonder, does that mean 20 different people did bad things, or was it 10 and maybe both of their hands? Yeah. I don't know.
We need further explanation, Sean.
Everything I heard about last season, we're doing the opposite. He also took aim at Hackett's new employer, the Jets, where he is the offensive coordinator, and they traded for Aaron Rodgers. Quote, it doesn't happen often where an NFL team or organization gets embarrassed, and that happened here. Part of it was their own fault relative to spending so much blanking time trying to win the offseason. The PR, the pomp, the circumstance, marching people around and all this stuff. We're not doing any of that. The Jets did that this year. You watch. Hard Knocks, all of it. I can see it coming. Remember when Dan Snyder put that dream team together? I was at the Giants in 2000. I was a young coach, and I thought, how are we going to compete with them? Dion's there now. Hmm. That team won 8 games. So listen, just put the work in. Well, you can tell what he's trying to do. He's trying to hop in cannonball style and just change the culture.
Yeah, that's a quick change. And look, put the spotlight on me, take it off some of these other guys. He's got a great resume. He's probably safe with his job for a while, I would say, but you never know. But he's taking a different tact, that's for sure.
Incidentally, the Broncos host the Jets on October
9th. Yes.
Yeah, that is that's going to be quite interesting. There's a lot of bullet board material.
Yeah.
For that.
That was surprising, though, that he did that to me. I mean, I don't claim to know Sean Payton, but, I mean, he was swinging away.
He really was, and it's interesting that he chose that forum, but good for USA Today. He went on to defend Russell Wilson. He said he's got plenty of gas left in the tank, and we ran that kid through the car wash 100 times now, but that's a storyline. How's this going to look? How's it going to work? You know what? We're fixing to find out, as Bill Parcells, his mentor, used to say. And as far as Hackett and GM George Payton's treatment of Wilson, he said, there's so much dirt around that. There's 20 dirty hands for what was allowed, tolerated in the frickin' training rooms, the meeting rooms, the offense. I don't know Hackett. A lot of people had dirt on their hands. It wasn't just Russell. He didn't just flip. He still has it. This BS that he hit a wall, they couldn't get a play in. They were 29th in the league in pre-snap penalties on both sides of the ball. That wasn't his fault. That was the parents who allowed it.
Mm.
He's not wrong.
Right. There's some good facts behind that.
You could you could argue that he could have just simply said we're changing things.
Yeah.
And we'll leave it at that. But like you said, he's putting himself out there, and I think that's something that's gonna help win the locker room. I think he's kind of creating, and this is a great psychological trick, an us versus them mentality. Yeah. Nobody believes in us, et cetera, et cetera.
I know when that's done, and there's probably some tact behind this and reason behind it, but like, let's do that from a guy like Russell Wilson's perspective, who's had a Hall of Fame career and has, you know, he's at the back end of his career, but he has a coach saying that for him. Do you think he feels what do you think he feels about that? Not necessarily per se to Sean Payton, but the fact that he's kind of putting some things out there as almost an excuse for him.
Russell Wilson?
Uh-huh. Because, I mean, me a little bit, I'd be like, okay, that's cool, coach, but like, yeah, right. I still made some bad throws. I didn't have a great year. Yeah, we could have got the plays in quicker. Yeah, there were some things that could have been done better, but I'm also out here still performing.
Well, I'll give you one more quote on Sean Payton because I think that's going to help answer your question, at least for me. He was talking about Russell Wilson having a strength training personal coach or whatever in the locker room and all that stuff. The GM, the president, everybody else watched it all happen. Now, a quarterback having an office and a place to watch film is normal, but all those things get magnified when you're losing. And all that other stuff, I've never heard of it. We're not doing that. I think what Sean Payton's doing with his superstar Super Bowl winning quarterback is, you know, look, he said that when I think it was his opening press conference. He was like, yeah, that's not happening. But then it's also one of those breakdown build up things. Mm-hmm. And I imagine they've had, you know, there was a picture of them, Russ and Sean Payton at a Nuggets playoff game, right, sitting courtside. I imagine they've had several talks where Sean's like, look, I came back because of you. I took a year off and I'm back in coaching because of you. I know you got gas in the tank. I believe in you. I know that you were coached terribly last year. I saw it on TV. You made me come back. I believe in you. That being said, I think you're the first guy to admit you did some things wrong. We're not doing any of that crap. Your guy's not allowed around. So in a sense, he's kind of correcting Russell Wilson, mm-hmm, and putting pressure on Russell Wilson, but also showing that we're holding hands in the fire together and I'm going to walk through flames with you. And right, I think that has a great effect on some athletes.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting to see now that he's been around a little bit and, you know, there's been some quirky natures kind of tagged to Russell Wilson, but we'll see.
Yeah, we will see.
New opportunity.
Absolutely. And honestly, I tend to agree with Sean Payton, if that, and I'm sure that is his thought process. I'm very bullish on Russell Wilson. I really truly am. They lost at least one of their top receivers last year. This is a guy in Russ Wilson that has shown time and time again he's a pretty damn good quarterback. And hell, last year he had 3,500 yards and 16 touchdowns. Now he had 11 picks and a career-low 60.5 completion percentage, but you're also getting sacked all over the place. A career-high 55. Man. 55 sacks for Russell Wilson. I think he was fighting for his life last year. I'm not trying to say that he's going to come back and, you know, be Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady incarnate, but he's also 34 years old.
Yeah. He's got a pretty good play caller for him.
That's exactly right. We'll take a break. When we come back, John Fisher just continues to...
To John Fisher.
Like, I feel like, is he pledging a fraternity? Mm. Did somebody dare him? We'll explain the latest disgusting thing the A's owner did next.
It's Whitey and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Twitter's pretty solid. If you'd leave it alone.
Like, why can't there just be, like, an app for sports specifically?
What
all
are you
the discords?
Call it?
Takes. How about that?
As for the Takes app, Chris Watkins just got a slap in the face of reality here. How's it going?
It already exists.
What?
It's Whitey and Watkins from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sacktown Sports.